Welcome to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest and I.
You are very important, especially to us here at the New Chemist podcasting group. You listening in is significant.
Vous êtes très important, surtout pour nous ici au New Chemist podcasting group. Votre écoute est significative.
Usted es muy importante, especialmente para nosotros aquí en The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Usted escuchando, es significativo.
Você é muito importante. Especialmente para nós do The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Você ouvindo, é significativo.
Είστε πολύ σημαντικοί, ειδικά για εμάς εδώ στο The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Το να ακούς είναι σημαντικό.
Sie sind sehr wichtig, besonders für uns hier bei The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Es ist wichtig, dass du zuhörst.
Je bent erg belangrijk, vooral voor ons hier bij The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Dat je meeluistert, is veelbetekenend.
You are very important. Especially to us here at The New Chemist Podcasting Group. You listening in is significant. Thank you, Lisel, for joining me today. It is good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Yes. So, what have been some of your long-standing interests in the field of science?
So, I think since I was born, I was really into science. My dad is an engineer, and my brother's also older, but has also always had an interest in math and science. And so, it kind of was built into me from an early age to like math, to like science. And I was always just really good with numbers and really interested in the things that are around me, everything, and how they connect, and figuring out how that connects and how each system could be used to help each other system.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So, given all your responsibilities and accomplishments, how do you maintain a balanced life? How are you maintaining a balanced life?
So honestly, it has been a struggle, especially with coming back home. So I studied in Atlanta for 4 years and then I worked there for 1 year. But then I came back to Trinidad and I've been here for the past 3 years. But then just keeping up with people when I was away was a bit difficult. And so coming back here and having to focus on work and focus on trying to get into my master's program, it has kind of taken away some of my social life balance. However, as you get older, you start to realize where it's important to focus your energies. And so whereas I may not have been communicating with people as much, I was still building relationships. So relationships with the people I worked with, getting stronger relationship with my parents, with my boyfriend, with my brother, and using that as kind of a foundation to make sure that I didn't get overwhelmed with work, or overwhelmed just like having to do my other chores and responsibilities and so forth. And I think for everyone, balance is different. And so that worked for me. But I know for other people who need a bit more of that social aspect in life, you know, they would have to figure out, okay, so set aside the time for the things that matter. If I need to go out and see my friends, do that, and work on what you prioritize and what works for you.
Yeah, that's good. So now with that same idea of priorities, how do you maintain a view of the bigger picture in your career and in your life in general? Is it some worldview, some perspective, some guiding philosophy? How do you maintain view of the bigger picture, especially when you face challenges and obstacles like many people are facing now during this pandemic of COVID-19?
So for me, the one thing that I've been certain of was that I want to make a difference. And just looking around me, like looking at the news and social media and everything, you see so many injustices and it's constantly there. And so it kind of keeps me focused on what my bigger picture is, which is to make a difference. And then everything I've done so far is kind of like putting me in a position where I can have an influence, hopefully, on helping to create injustices, whether small or big. And just knowing that that is my goal, knowing that that is where I want to end up, has been really key in keeping me focused, keeping me with a direction. And I think that day in itself is looking at the bigger picture, because how my brain works is that I see the bigger picture. Sometimes it's a bit smaller to break down tasks and activities into just smaller accomplishments, which is a whole other thing that has to be worked on. But at the end of the day, it's just that bigger picture of how everything is connected, how it's connected to me, how it's connected to other things, and trying to incorporate that into my decisions, into my future, into my goals.
Yeah, that's true. So in terms of your major at Georgia Tech, why did you choose environmental engineering?
Honestly, initially I wanted to go into chemical engineering, following in the footsteps of my father. But how the Trinidad system works is that for the upper level studies before going into college, I would have had to do physics, which I loved up until electromagnetism. And so that kind of made me have to restructure my whole life, which gave me a couple months of anxiety. But then going on a school visit for my brother, I saw a school magazine and a term that I'd never heard before, environmental engineering. And I was like, this sounds interesting. I won't have to do electromagnetism. Still came up in college. But I looked into it and then I realized that it kind of did a better job of connecting with where I saw myself than the chemical engineering would have, because it incorporated engineering and science and the environment. And it looked at shaping systems in order to benefit the environment, whether it be water systems, whether it be in civil engineering and urban planning, and it just looked at that connectedness, and presented opportunities to give solutions to that. And so I think it was rather fortuitous. I think I am a strong believer that everything happens for a reason. And I think that was definitely one of those moments. I'm not doing environmental engineering for now, but I think that that engineering perspective really, really did a good job of teaching me how to think, teaching me how to understand, me how to like think and ideate new solutions to problems. And I think that is really helpful on the development aspect for sustainable development, because we need new policies. The world needs new policies, but to create the new policies, you need evidence, and the evidence is science and data collection and interpretation of that science and data in order to create solutions. And I think that environmental engineering undergraduate degree set me up perfectly to do that.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah, I really agree, because you know, I believe engineering and science degrees, and I'm not trying to bias this in terms of it being a preference over other degrees, but I can speak from my perspective having a science degree. It does provide you a framework to think about problems and to start to ideate and formulate solutions, or at least approach a solution, or get on the trajectory towards achieving a solution. So along the lines of adapting and solution-oriented thinking and creativity, how have you been creative in the field of science? What ideas jump out at you in terms of your work thus far, in terms of chemical waste management or environmental engineering? What ways have you been adaptive or creative?
So I'm still in that place of trying to figure out what my big idea is.
Okay, so that's fine.
I can't fully answer that question, but I think ideation and creation and thinking of new things is a process. And so I'm still in the learning phase, still trying to understand how the world works, and still trying to see where there are gaps, and there are gaps in everything. So ask me in a few years, and hopefully I'll be able to have a better answer.
That's good, and that's a very honest answer, which I appreciate. So along the lines of you finding a right environment for you to thrive scientifically and intellectually, you mentioned how your environmental engineering degree set you up perfectly for what you're doing now, as well as you are at a very good school where graduate studies is concerned, Columbia University. So how did you seek or find those environments? How did you get in those environments or matriculate into those environments?
So Columbia is a top-notch school, and I think they have a very unique program that it actually started in Columbia, and now it's expanding on a global level. So I'm doing a master's in public administration in development practice. And MPAs are common. They've been around for a bit, but the in development practice part is the important part of it, because it was developed off of a recognition that development is one thing in a theoretical and conceptual sense. However, the actual application of that theory and of those policies and stuff is something that is needed in the world. And so it was founded in Colombia not too long ago. I don't remember the exact age, but now it's in several schools, not just in the US, but throughout the world, and it's an expanding program. And so that's one of the big things that drew me to that program, the fact that it was unique and that it was practice-oriented, and because I think that day works perfectly with my engineering background, the application. And so as far as how I see that as being conducive to my growth, I'm in my third week of the program, so still kind of, and especially since I'm doing it remotely because COVID, I'm still trying to figure that out. However, it's been an eye-opening almost 3 weeks so far, just with the readings that I've been assigned with my classes, and then discussions with my extremely diverse group of classmates. I think it has the potential to kind of help me to figure out my life, which I'm still trying to do. So
yeah, that's good. That's very good. So given your environment, how do you maintain vision and teamwork in your environment? Even remotely, how are you maintaining vision and teamwork? Vision of your goal and your aspirations and teamwork in terms of your work environment.
So I like people. I like people. I like working in teams. That was especially something I realized in my last job where I worked, which was a regional organization here in the Caribbean. And realizing, you know, when I was working with a team on a project, I was a lot happier than when I was kind of working more or less solo. So I envision teamwork to be very strong for me, as in how I like see myself in life. But in this specific environment, I was very nervous about it, actually. I was nervous at having to start this program remotely, and not without having the chance to build that connection with my peers. And Zoom fatigue is real. But yeah, it has, like, the program directors have done a really good job from the orientation, where we got a whole week to get to know each other, and break out into breakout groups and kind of have these small group discussions. And even self with the classes, the professors all incorporate small discussions, group projects, and teamwork into their classes. And I think that day has been a really good way to just share experiences, because once again, it's a really diverse group of people, and from countries that I know nothing about. And sharing those ideas, it helps. You can't do everything in a silo, so.
Yeah, I completely agree. Teamwork is important, and it allows for synergy and creativity and bouncing ideas off each other. I think it provides impetus for like personal growth, social development, a lot of things. Teamwork is important. So, I'd say by many standards of measurement, you were, if you would just reflect on some of your past achievements, you were the president of the Caribbean Student Association at George Institute of Technology. You graduated with an environmental engineering degree. You're currently at Columbia. You work as a research engineer. So, in many ways, you have been successful in achieving what you set your mind to. So how or what would you attribute to your success thus far? What would you say is a basis for your success, or one of the bases?
First of all, success, I guess, is relative. I know it appears so on the outside, but there's still a lot that I would have liked to have accomplished but haven't had the chance to yet. Yes. And so, like, once again, I'm still aiming towards that, the impact. I'm young, getting old every day, but I'm so young. But I think for me, though, with the perceived success I've had so far, I think a big part of it for me was my family. Yes. Just having that stable foundation. And I know I was very privileged to grow up in a home with two parents, and with a mom who stopped working to take care of my brother and I at a certain age. And they've been from day one very on both of us about, you know, the importance of education, the importance of, like, trying to be happy, the importance of, you know, having a direction, wanting to make impact, but also, like, not limiting your scope. Because I think that's been a really big thing for me since I was born. My parents are like, don't just limit your what you know to Trinidad. It's a very small country, but on the global scheme, it's if we're lucky, we're a dot on the map. If we're lucky, sometimes we're not even there. And so they grew us up to know that there is more out there, and that it's not that in more out there means that we are less than. We in Trinidad have so many beautiful aspects of our society and our culture and how we do things that can be shared. And so to not be selfish about taking from outside, but also understand that we can give. We as Trinidad can give to the outside world. So I think everything I have done is because of that really strong foundation that I have. And I think even now with the difficulties of COVID, but also with coming back home and everything, my boyfriend has been a huge help with that, a huge source of strength. And I think that has been really good because he's also pushed me. And I think having good people around you, whether it be your partner, whether it be your parents, whether it be your friends, I think is a really good metric for success.
That's important. Relationships are very important, and relationships that you build and maintain, especially those that are socially important to you, as well as academically important, whatever sphere they may be in, they have significance and they play a large role in your success. I completely agree with that. So in terms of advice, those wanting to pursue the field you're currently studying and working in. I think a lot of us, when we think of development, especially from the Caribbean, we know that our countries are developing, and we recognize that we can play a role in the development. And so what advice would you give to someone who's interested in engaging in that, or trying to pursue the field just currently studying it? What advice would you give to them?
So I think, first of all, okay, so the world tells us that development is solely economic. I think even with the Sustainable Development Goals, even though they kind of expand that idea of development to be a little bit more than it's being economic centric, it still kind of has that focus on finances, money, income. And I think one should understand that, yes, because that's how the system works, there is some value to that, but also understand that development isn't just about the money. It's about cultural representation. It's about giving people the chance to have a good livelihood. And that's not just with getting enough money to buy things, but it's also a matter of just community building, ensuring that your neighbor is also fine, ensuring that your community, your country is doing well. It's understanding that we are in a system that is working as it should to make it difficult, and realizing that there are some barriers that need to be pushed down. There are some mentalities that need to be broken. There are some things that just maybe need to be scrapped, and it's going to be difficult. Like, if you're coming into this with the idea of changing the world, understand that that is going to be difficult, and prepare yourself. And the way that you could prepare yourself is, first of all, understanding how the system works, understand which parts of the system that you are okay with and where you see could be changed, and kind of commit to that change and be brave about it. But understanding that it is okay to not want to change the world. Like, and I think that that is something that a lot of people grapple with, and that they won't go into development because they're thinking, I have to really have this deep desire to want to change the world. And not everyone is going to have that, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go into development, because we're not going to change the world overnight. You're going to change the world in small acts. And if you just want to come into development to develop your home, that's fine. If you want to develop a community, that's fine. It's all contributing to the greater good. So don't discount it just because of that. But the world right now is in a place that is not sustainable. It is not good for mental health. It's not good for individual perception and community perception. And a lot needs to change, and it's a difficult task. And sometimes I get a little down about it and cynical, and but maintain that positivity, because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're beautiful. Humans are beautiful. The earth is beautiful. Everything is beautiful in the way that it's connected, and that's something to be positive about. And so yeah, I mean, that's what advice I would give to anyone trying to come into this field, and I'd recommend that people come into this field. It's needed.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And it's interesting that you said that. You know, I think many times we encounter challenging circumstances, especially people who are practitioners or who are training to be practitioners, and you become aware of all of the challenges associated with the discipline that you're studying in. It can be somewhat discouraging. And I think it's important to put those challenges in perspective, in context, and to understand that, you know, there's so many ways you can look at this. You can look at this from the perspective of, yes, there may be challenges, but we as humans, we have shown throughout history that we can be resilient, whether it be within our subgroups or as a human race in total or in general. We have the capacity to be resilient. And I think that is something that stands out, and I think that's something keep in mind, as well as when there are challenges within your sub-discipline, you know, you can think about those who have gone before you, who may or may not look like you, but they have gone before you, and they have been successful in spite or despite of those challenges.
Yeah.
So I think those things, I think the process of encountering challenges can be discouraging, but, and we acknowledge that, we name it, and we acknowledge it, that it can be discouraged.
Yes.
And we engage with it, but we don't stay there. We move forward. And we seek to improve, whether it be in some small granularity.
Yes.
We seek to improve it in our small way, maintaining our authentic selves.
Yes.
And seeking to change our environment one day at a time, one decision at a time. I think that's important. Very important. Thank you. Yes. So what is some of the most beneficial advice that you have received as growing up in Trinidad? You know, what's some of the beneficial advice you have received? If you had to like name a few or list a few, what's some?
I think one, and actually it was said just the other day actually, which is something that I grapple with, is passion is good, but in order to communicate what you have to say effectively, sometimes you might have to kind of limit the emotional response. Just because of how other people may react to emotional responses. And so to find that balance, because yes, emotion is important. I personally think there's a lot of areas in society where people have been told so much to like not get emotional about it that they've taken out the ability for empathy. But at the same time, if you get like too emotional, too angry about something, you could lose things with regard to communication, and there's that peak of a response. And so I think for me that was important to hear, just because sometimes something can get me really, really, really like angry, really passionate and upset about something, and I may be a bit quick to respond without thinking it through. And I think for me, like that hit home, because it helped me to realize that pattern. And then also too, I think the same thing that you just said and what I alluded to before, don't get discouraged. Like don't let something take you down so far that you can't pull yourself back out of it. I mean, you need your time to have that internal response. But then always try to pick yourself back up and go at it again. And I know people always say, you know, try again. And it's something that kind of seems very cliched, but I think it is important. It is important not to give up, and to just keep working at things, to be persistent. So I think with those two things for me, I would also like to just pass on as well.
Yeah, that's good. I completely agree with that again, that you must be consistent, and it's a challenge for everyone, no matter what discipline you work in. Some people are better at it than others, but it's a challenge, especially when you're just starting out in the field, and it's important to persevere. Because I think we also could remember that, you know, the world has been here before we came, yet people have been successful and they have made a difference. There are lots of historical figures that we can look at and see the difference that they've made. So yes, thank you.
Actually, if there's also one more thing that I could add, that I know a lot of persons, especially persons of color and women, experience a lot.
Yes.
Imposter syndrome is something that I know a lot of people grapple with, myself included. There's not a day that goes by that I think like, how did I get into Columbia? Like, they must have made a mistake. And I think just no matter where you are, you're there for a reason and you belong there. And so I know it's easier said than done. It's easier said than that I belong here, but like internally you might have these struggles with that. But just if anyone out there is listening, to remember that you belong where you are, and so don't as much as you can help it, don't spend time worrying about that you don't belong. Just do your best, push through, and as long as you know that you've done your best and you know that you belong there, I think that will help a lot.
And that's something I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, I think that's a very important point. you know, the sense of belonging and understanding that, you know, yes, I may have differences, yes, I may have challenges, but that does not take away from the fact that I belong in this place. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for me belonging here. You know, you can think of the analogy of plants in water. Mm-hmm. There are certain plants that actually grow well in water.
Yeah.
As well as a seed in the soil. Yes, you know, if you think of a barren land, a land that doesn't have any plants yet, you know, before a farm is placed on the land, especially I could speak in reference to Freeport, Grand Bahama, before you place a plot, before you set up a fertile piece of land, you have to break up the ground, you have to till the soil, you have to put down fertilizer, and you have to put down seeds in order for you to see the plants grow. So it's a process, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, the environment may not be the way you want it to be, but, you know, it can change. Nothing is really fixed in stone. There's still a possibility of changing it. And also, just because it looks challenging at first doesn't mean that it's not where you belong. Mm-hmm. You never know. Some may say that challenge may be there for you to complement the changing it. Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, LaSalle, thank you so much for joining me today. It was good to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, LaSalle, for joining me today. It is good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Yes. So, what have been some of your long-standing interests in the field of science?
So, I think since I was born, I was really into science. My dad is an engineer, and my brother's also older, but has also always had an interest in math and science. And so, it kind of was built into me from an early age to like math, to like science. And I was always just really good with numbers and really interested in the things that are around me, everything, and how they connect, and figuring out how that connects and how each system could be used to help each other system.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So, given all your responsibilities and accomplishments, how do you maintain a balanced life? How are you maintaining a balanced life?
So honestly, it has been a struggle, especially with coming back home. So I studied in Atlanta for 4 years and then I worked there for 1 year. But then I came back to Trinidad and I've been here for the past 3 years. But then just keeping up with people when I was away was a bit difficult. And so coming back here and having to focus on work and focus on trying to get into my master's program, it has kind of taken away some of my social life balance. However, as you get older, you start to realize where it's important to focus your energies. And so whereas I may not have been communicating with people as much, I was still building relationships. So relationships with the people I worked with, getting stronger relationship with my parents, some with my boyfriend, with my brother, and using that as kind of a foundation to make sure that I didn't get overwhelmed with work, or overwhelmed just like having to do my other chores and responsibilities and so forth. And I think for everyone, balance is different, and so that worked for me. But I know for other people who need a bit more of that social aspect in life, you know, they would have to figure out, okay, so set aside the time for the things that matter. If I need to go out and see my friends, do that, and work on what you prioritize and what works for you.
Yeah, that's good. So now with that same idea of priorities, how do you maintain a view of the bigger picture in your career and in your life in general? Is it some worldview, some perspective, some guiding philosophy? How do you maintain view of the bigger picture, especially when you face challenges and obstacles like many people are facing now during this pandemic of COVID-19?
So for me, the one thing that I've been certain of was that I want to make a difference. And just looking around me, like looking at the news and social media and everything, you see so many injustices and it's constantly there. And so it kind of keeps me focused on what my bigger picture is, which is to make a difference. And then everything I've done so far is kind of like putting me in a position where I can have an influence, hopefully, on helping to create injustices, whether small or big. And just knowing that that is my goal, knowing that that is where I want to end up, has been really key in keeping me focused, keeping me with a direction. And I think that there in itself is looking at the bigger picture, because how my brain works is that I see the bigger picture. Sometimes it's a bit smaller to break down tasks and activities into just smaller accomplishments, which is a whole other thing that has to be worked on. But at the end of the day, it's just that bigger picture of how everything is connected, how it's connected to me, how it's connected to other things, and trying to incorporate that into my decisions, into my future, into my goals.
Yeah, that's true. So in terms of your major at Georgia Tech, why did you choose environmental engineering?
Honestly, initially I wanted to go into chemical engineering, following in the footsteps of my father. But how the Trinidad system works is that for the upper level studies before going into college, I would have had to do physics, which I loved up until electromagnetism. And so that kind of made me have to restructure my whole life, which gave me a couple months of anxiety. But then going on a school visit for my brother, I saw a school magazine and a term that I'd never heard before, environmental engineering. And I was like, huh, this sounds interesting. I won't have to do electromagnetism. It's a lie. It still came up in college. But I looked into it and then I realized that it kind of did a better job of connecting with where I saw myself than the chemical engineering would have, because it incorporated engineering and science and the environment. And it looked at shaping systems in order to benefit the environment, whether it be water systems, whether it be in civil engineering and urban planning, and it just looked at that connectedness and presented opportunities to give solutions to that. And so I think it was rather fortuitous. I think I am a strong believer that everything happens for a reason. And I think that was definitely one of those moments. I'm not doing environmental engineering for now, but I think that engineering perspective really did a good job of teaching me how to think, teaching me how to understand, me how to like think and ideate new solutions to problems. And I think that is really helpful on the development aspect for sustainable development, because we need new policies. The world needs new policies, but to create the new policies, you need evidence, and the evidence is science and data collection and interpretation of that science and data in order to create solutions. And I think that environmental engineering undergraduate degree set me up perfectly to do that.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah, I really agree, because you know I believe engineering and science degrees, and I'm not trying to bias this in terms of it being a preference over other degrees, but I can speak from my perspective having a science degree. It does provide you a framework to think about problems and to start to ideate and formulate solutions, or at least approach a solution, or get on the trajectory towards achieving a solution. So along the lines of adapting and solution-oriented thinking and creativity, how have you been creative in the field of science? What ideas jump out to you in terms of your work thus far, in terms of chemical waste management or environmental engineering? What ways have you been adaptive or creative?
So I'm still in that place of trying to figure out what my big idea is.
Okay, so that's fine.
I can't fully answer that question, but I think ideation and creation and thinking of new things is a process. And so I'm still in the learning phase, still trying to understand how the world works, and still trying to see where there are gaps, and there are gaps in everything. So ask me in a few years and hopefully I'll be able to have a better answer.
That's good, and that's a very honest answer, which I appreciate. So along the lines of you finding a right environment for you to thrive scientifically and intellectually, you mentioned how your environmental engineering degree set you up perfectly for what you're doing now, as well as you are at a very good school where graduate studies is concerned, Columbia University. So how did you seek or find those environments? How did you get in those environments or matriculate into those environments?
So Columbia is a top-notch school, and I think they have a very unique program that it actually started in Columbia and now it's expanding on a global level. So I'm doing a master's in public administration in development practice. And MPAs are common. They've been around for a bit, but the in development practice part is the important part of it, because it was developed off of a recognition that development is one thing in a theoretical and conceptual sense. However, the actual application of that theory and of those policies and stuff is something that is needed in New World. And so it was founded in Colombia not too long ago. I don't remember the exact age, but now it's in several schools, not just in the US, but throughout the world, and it's an expanding program. And so that's one of the big things that drew me to that program, the fact that it was unique and that it was practice oriented. And because I think that that day works perfectly with my engineering background, the application. And so as far as how I see that as being like conducive to my growth, it's I'm in my third week of the program. So still kind of, and especially since I'm doing it remotely because COVID, I'm still trying to figure that out. However, it's been an eye-opening almost 3 weeks so far, just with the readings that I've been assigned with my classes and then discussions with my extremely diverse group of classmates. I think it has the potential to kind of help me to figure out my life, which I'm still trying to do. So
yeah, that's good. That's very good. So, given your environment, how do you maintain vision and teamwork in your environment? Even remotely, how are you maintaining vision and teamwork? Vision of your goals and your aspirations and teamwork in terms of your work environment.
So, I like people. I like people. I like working in teams. That was especially something I realized in my last job where I worked, which was a regional organization here in the Caribbean. And realizing, you know, when I was working with a team on a project, I was a lot happier than when I was kind of working more or less solo. So I envision teamwork to be very strong for me, as in how I like see myself in life. But in this specific environment, I was very nervous about it, actually. I was nervous at having to start this program remotely. And not without having the chance to build that connection with my peers. And Zoom fatigue is real. But yeah. It has, like, the program directors have done a really good job from the orientation, where we got a whole week to get to know each other and break out into breakout groups and kind of have these small group discussions. And even self with the classes, the professors all incorporate small group discussions, group projects, and teamwork into their classes. And I think that day has been a really good way to just share experiences, because once again, it's a really diverse group of people and from countries that I know nothing about. And sharing those ideas, it helps. You can't do everything in a silo, so.
Yeah, I completely agree. Teamwork is important and allows for synergy and creativity and bouncing ideas off each other. I think it provides impetus for like personal growth, social development, a lot of things. Teamwork is important. So, I'd say by many standards of measurement, you were, if you would just reflect on some of your past achievements, you were the president of the Caribbean Student Association at George Institute of Technology. You graduated with an environmental engineering degree. You're currently at Columbia. You worked as a research engineer. So, in many ways, you have been successful in achieving what you set your mind to. So how or what would you attribute to your success thus far? What would you say is a basis for your success, or one of the bases?
First of all, success, I guess, is relative. I know it appears so on the outside, but there's still a lot that I would have liked to have accomplished but haven't had the chance to yet. Yes. And so, like, once again, I'm still aiming towards that, the impact. I'm young, getting old every day, but I'm so young. But I think for me, though, with the perceived success I've had so far, I think a big part of it for me was my family. Yes. Just having that stable foundation. And I know I was very privileged to grow up in a home with two parents and with a mom who stopped working to take care of my brother and I at a certain age. And they've been from day one very on both of us about, you know, the importance of education, the importance of, like, trying to be happy, the importance of you know, having a direction, wanting to make impact, but also, like, not limiting your scope, because I think that's been a really big thing for me since I was born. My parents are like, don't just limit your what you know to Trinidad. It's a very small country, and but it, on the global scheme, it's if we're lucky, we're a dot on the map. If we're lucky, sometimes we're not even there. And so they grew us up to know that there is more out there. And that it's not that in more out there means that that we are less than. We in Trinidad have so many beautiful aspects of our society and our culture and how we do things that can be shared. And so to not be selfish about taking from outside, but also understand that we as Trinidad can give to the outside world. So I think everything I have done is because of that really strong foundation that I have. And I think even now with the difficulties of COVID, but also with coming back home and everything, my boyfriend has been a huge help with that, a huge source of strength. And I think that has been really good because he's also pushed me. And I think having good people around you, whether it be your partner, whether it be your parents, whether it be your friends, I think is a really good metric for success.
That's important. Relationships are very important. And relationships that you build and maintain, especially those that are socially important to you, as well as academically important, whatever sphere they may be in, they have significance and they play a large role in your success. I completely agree with that. So in terms of advice, those wanting to pursue the field you're currently studying and working in, I think a lot of us, when we think of development, especially from the Caribbean, we know that our countries are developing and we recognize that we can play a role in the development. And so what advice would you give to someone who's interested in engaging in that or trying to pursue the field you're currently studying in? What advice would you give to them?
So I think, first of all, okay, so the world tells us that development is solely economic. I think even with the Sustainable Development Goals, even though they kind of expand that idea of development to be a little bit more than it's being economic centric, it still kind of has that focus on finances, money, income. And I think one should understand that, yes, because that's how the system works, there is some value to that, but also understand that development isn't just about the money. It's about cultural representation. It's about giving people the chance to have a good livelihood. And that's not just with getting enough money to buy things, but it's also a matter of just community building. Ensuring that your neighbor is also fine, ensuring that your community, your country is doing well. It's understanding that we are in a system that is working as it should to make it difficult, and realizing that there are some barriers that need to be pushed down. There are some mentalities that need to be broken. There are some things that just maybe need to be scrapped, and it's going to be difficult. Like, if you're coming into this with the idea of changing the world, understand that is going to be difficult and prepare yourself. And the way that you could prepare yourself is, first of all, understanding how the system works, understand which parts of the system that you are okay with and where you see could be changed, and kind of commit to that change and be brave about it. But understanding that it is okay to not want to change the world. Like, and I think that is something that a lot of people grapple with and that they won't go into development because they're thinking, I have to really have this deep desire to want to change the world. And not everyone is going to have that, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go into development, because we're not going to change the world overnight. You're going to change the world in small acts. And if you just want to come into development to develop your home, that's fine. If you want to develop a community, that's fine. It's all contributing to the greater good. So don't discount it just because of that. But the world right now is in a place that is not sustainable. It is not good for mental health. It's not good for individual perception and community perception. And a lot needs to change. And it's a difficult task. And sometimes I get a little down about it and cynical, but maintain that positivity, because I mean, at the end of the day, we're beautiful. Humans are beautiful. The earth is beautiful. Everything is beautiful in the way that it's connected. And that's something to be positive about. And so yeah, I mean, that's the advice I would give to anyone trying to come into this field. And I'd recommend that people come into this field. It's needed.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And it's interesting that you said that, you know, I think many times we encounter challenging circumstances, especially people who are practitioners or who are training to be practitioners, and you become aware of all of the challenges associated with the discipline that you're studying in, it can be somewhat discouraging. And I think it's important to put those challenges in perspective, in context, and to understand that, you know, there's so many ways you can look at this. You can look at this from the perspective of, yes, there may be challenges, but we as humans, we have shown throughout history that we can be resilient, whether it be within our subgroups or as a human race in total or in general. We have the capacity to be resilient. And I think that is something that stands out, and I think that's something that we can keep in mind. As well as when there are challenges within your sub-discipline, you know, you can think about those who have gone before you, who may or may not look like you, but they have gone before you and they have been successful in spite or despite of those challenges.
Yes.
So I think those things, I think the process of encountering challenges can be discouraging, and we acknowledge that. We name it and we acknowledge it that it can be discouraging.
Yes.
And we engage with it, but we don't stay there. We move forward and we seek to improve, whether it be in some small granularity.
Yes.
We seek to improve it in our small way, maintaining our authentic selves.
Yes.
And seeking to change our environment one day at a time, one decision at a time. I think that's important, very important. Thank you. Yes. So what is some of the most beneficial advice that you have received as growing up in Trinidad? You know, what's some of the beneficial advice that you have received? If you had to like name a few or list a few, what's some?
I think one, and actually it was said just the other day actually, which is something that I grapple with, is passion is good, but in order to communicate what you have to say effectively, sometimes you might have to kind of limit the emotional response. Just because of how other people may react to emotional responses. And so to find that balance, because yes, emotion is important. I personally think there's a lot of areas in society where people have been told so much to like not get emotional about it that they've taken out the ability for empathy. But at the same time, if you get like too emotional, too angry about something, you could lose things with regard to communication, and there's that peak of a response. And so I think for me that was important to hear, just because sometimes something can get me really, really, really like angry, really passionate and upset about something, and I may be a bit quick to respond without thinking it through. And I think for me, like, that hit home, because it helped me to realize that pattern. And then also too, I think the same thing that you just said and what I alluded to before, don't get discouraged. Like, don't let something take you down so far that you can't pull yourself back out of it. I mean, you need your time to have that internal response. But then always try to pick yourself back up and go at it again. And I know people always say, you know, try again. And it's something that kind of seems very cliched, but I think it is important. It is important not to give up, and to just keep working at things, to be persistent. So I think with those two things for me, I would also like to just pass on as well.
Yeah, that's good. I completely agree with that again, in that you must be consistent. And it's a challenge for everyone, no matter what discipline you work in. Some people are better at it than others, but it's a challenge, especially when you're just starting out in the field, and it's important to persevere. Because I think we also could remember that You know, the world has been here before we came. Yet people have been successful and they have made a difference. Yeah, lots of historical figures that we can look at and see the difference that they have made. So yes, thank you.
Actually, if there's also one more thing that I could add, that I know a lot of persons, especially persons of color and women, experience a lot.
Yes.
Imposter syndrome is something that I know a lot of people grapple with, myself included. There's not a day that goes by that I think like, how did I get into Columbia? Like, they must have made a mistake. And I think just no matter where you are, you're there for a reason and you belong there. And so I know it's easier said than done. It's easier said than that I belong here, but like internally you might have these struggles with that. But just if anyone out there is listening, to remember that you belong where you are. And so don't as much as you can help it, don't spend time worrying about that you don't belong. Just do your best. Push through, and as long as you know that you've done your best and you know that you belong there, I think that will help a lot.
And that's something I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, I think that's a very important point, you know, the sense of belonging and understanding that, you know, yes, I may have differences, yes, I may have challenges, that does not take away from the fact that I belong in this place. And there's a reason for me belonging here. You know, you can think of the analogy of plants in water. Mm-hmm. There are certain plants that actually grow well in water.
Yeah.
As well as a seed in the soil. Yes, you know, if you think of a barren land, a land that doesn't have any plants yet, you know, before a farm is placed on the land, especially I could speak in reference to Freeport, Grand Bahama, before you place a plot, before you set up a fertile piece of land, you have to break up the ground, you have to till the soil, you have to put down fertilizer, and you have to put down seeds in order for you to see the plants grow. So it's a process, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, the environment may not be the way you want it to be, but you know, it can change. Nothing is really fixed in stone. There's still a possibility of changing it. And also, just because it looks challenging at first doesn't mean that it's not where you belong. Mm-hmm. You never know. Some may say that challenge may be there for you to complement the changing it.
I like that a lot.
So anyway, Lisselle, thank you so much for joining me today. It was good to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. We are so glad that you were able to tune in today. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest, and I take care and all the best.